Empowering Gita Reflections, a podcast to guide modern lifestyle with the wisdom of the Gita.
For me, it's all about behavior. If someone knows something, should shows in the behavior, right? If someone has learned something, shows in their behavior. If someone is kind, and no matter how many kind words they speak, I've read all the encyclopedia on kindness. I can give polished speeches on kindness. What does your behavior show? If the behavior is not kind, then you're not kind. I don't care how many PhDs you've got in kindness, right? Or charitable or whatever. It's the ultimate test of knowledge is behavior. If it doesn't show up in behavior, the Gita is translated into all languages of the world. It's probably the only, maybe the Bible beats it, I don't know, possibly. But the best translation is the behavioral transformation. Doesn't matter what language, what the concoction, what the interpretation of it, when it is in living, when it comes to life and behavior, that is the best translation. And in here, in the 13th chapter, in the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th shloka verses, he described the behaviors of those who have risen in knowledge, who gained this knowledge, who have succeeded in detaching themselves from the body notion, who no longer think they're the body, no longer dependent on any external stimuli, right? And the context of the 13th chapter is simply this. It comes after the 12th chapter, right? That, which is Bhakti Yoga. 12th chapter naturally comes after the 11th, 10th. And the point of this is it's a single dialogue. This is no chapter end. Let's take a water break, one function break. Let's go to bathroom and then come back and I'll pick up where we left off. It was a single conversation that lasted. It's a very urgent conversation. There's no time to lose. It's very compelling in every sense. And so they just rolled on from topic to topic, question after question answered, and answering to that. And in doing that, in the 9th chapter, right in the center of the 9th chapter, the last shloka, this is the 18 chapters. If I am wearing a mala, there's this one half, and there's this other half, and there's the pendant in between. There's 9 chapters from here, and the 9 chapters from here. And the central climactic shloka is Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishyasi Yuktvayavam Atmana Makparada Navna Sanshaya. That be devoted to me, just listen to me, align with me. I'm not asking you to get down on your knees, Krishna says. I'm not asking you to rub your nose. I'm not asking you to just sing this, that. Align with me, Sharanam Raja, right? Because you're not going to change this. The system is defined, it's made like this, it's designed like this. It's the cosmic system. The more you align with it, the easier it will be. And if you find that hard to do, because there's 1,000 ways of the system, then align with me. He says, man, manava, man, manava, mam, it's me, mine in Sanskrit. Why don't you just align with me? I'm standing in front of you. He says, 2 hands, 2 feet like you. About a couple of inches shorter than him, a few shades darker, a year and a half older, Krishna, than Arjun, from your mama's, I'm your mama's son. So align with me, that should be easy. I'm your friend. Aligned in the man manabhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. If you're finding it hard to figure out the truth, who should I bow down to, who is the greater God, who knows who's the ultimate truth, this, that, I have the whole self standing in front of you. Why don't you just offer it to me and see what happens? Just try it, says, right? That you, I will not mislead you. That's his promise. Asanshaya, have no doubt about this, doubt free. And so that is very, very graphically describing a personal God. I, as the person Krishna is saying, standing in front of you. And so he said, well, but so in the 10th chapter, he said, well, is that all there is to you? Like, is this or how? He also said, I'm in everyone, I'm in everything, I am all, I'm in me. How should I see you? Where else should I see you? And so the 10th chapter describes that, Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti is vishesh manifestations, special manifestations, like phenomenal manifestations of the Lord is in the 10th chapter described. And then Arjun says, yeah, great, wonderful. Can you show me that, all that? This must be from misery. I tease my cousin lives in misery. Show me the money state, right? Those, everyone, including him, if he's tuned in, I don't know, sometimes he does. show me the money first, show me the moolah first. So Arjun was like that also. He said, can you show it to me? They said, okay, right, I'll show it to you. Devyam dadamite drishti paschami yogamesha. You cannot see with your material eyes because you're very limited. Because you have your own ideas of whatever appears, this is how it is. You have to go rip through it, go beyond, get a transcendental vision, then you see everything as is. And he gives, imparts in that vision. And then the 11th chapter is all the glory of the cosmic form, his cosmic. And so that's when Arjun comes to his senses and he just bows down and says, whoa, great. I can now worship you. But I've also heard that there are those who worship the impersonal God. They don't believe in a personal God. They don't think God is a man or a woman, but has a form or has a name. They think God is something beyond whatever we can imagine, some flame, some cloud, some formless blob somewhere doing something. And they worship that. Like, what happens to them? Do they go to hell? Are they like wrong? Are they messed up? Where do they go? You're telling me to worship a personal God, Krishna direct. He asked him, which ones are superior? Arjuna asked, direct question. Which ones are smarter, superior, better? In the 12th chapter at the beginning, Krishna says, I'll tell you which one it is. Those who worship a formful God, like me, he said, those who worship me. But before you run away, they also reach me. Those who worship a blob or what something, they also, because in the end, their mind is still searching for the ultimate pursuit. And the mind takes them there. Wherever ultimately they end, I am found there. I am the final. I am the supreme. I am the ultimate. I am the last in the end. Therefore, no need to bash them. No need to badmouth. Gita is the most inclusive, by the way, scripture of any scripture, any religion in the world ever. Most inclusive, most open. Everybody's invited. Everybody's included. Everybody's given a place of honor, not just invited and included. This is for you specifically. Have a seat. And this is for you. You too. And you too. Like, there's so many references in the Gita that are clear that seriously, right? And so he said, before you go, they also reach me. However, it is a very torturous path. It's not easy for a human brain to comprehend something that doesn't have a form. You cannot see it. You cannot taste it, touch it. Then what is it? Are you left the big question in the end? And you just, these are concocted notions. Maybe it is this, maybe it is that. And all I found, naiti, 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 not this, not this, not this, not this. But I'm standing in front of you, he said. This one right here, right? Why wouldn't you accept it?
This Gita Yoga podcast will continue in the next session. Jai Shri Krishna.